Good morning. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My wish is that the Holy Spirit would be with us here this morning as we fellowship together in song or in words and in a message today morning. It gives me great joy to see that so many of you have come this morning, a hunger for the fellowship and for God's word, and may we be a blessing to one another, but mostly a blessing to God, that the one that has so fearfully and wonderfully created us, that we can give him honor and glory and praise through the things that we've done. Welcome to everyone that has come, and I see that there's some Sunday school students here this morning too. This morning I will be sharing one of my favorite stories of the Bible, and go through part of that in the English message, and then continue that story in the German message. There's times in life that we may have prepared ourselves for certain things, but then there's times in life that the road has changed direction, and we're put into a road of trials. We're put in onto a way of various tribulation. When I look around this morning, and I see guests here with us this morning, and I know this couple, in their life, I don't think that he was ever really thinking, would I ever get a stroke that I can't perform with my body like I used to? Or as we have a couple in our church, cancer has come into their family. As Nita is battling with that now, we don't know why, but God knows. And we go through these trials. We go through these tribulations. And maybe it's even an accident that we go through, that we struggle with trying to do what we used to be able to do. And maybe just age, and though it's not just age, but we have a hard time breathing. We need help in that way. And there's many other things that we could talk about this morning, that we have various trials in our life, and we don't know what's going to be tomorrow. We don't know what's going to be the next minute. How is it going to improve, or is it going to get worse? But one thing we know, that there's a God, and if we lean on him, and if we hold together in fasting and prayer, there can be a difference made. So this morning, before I continue and go into the message, and the story of Esther, as I said, one of my favorite stories of the Bible I want to share is the story of Esther. But before we go into that story, I want to start with a word of prayer, and we'll have a few songs, and then we will go into the story. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and I'm made mindful of James, when James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations," or various trials, we could say. Consider it joy. It's not always fun. It is not, rightfully, God, we would say as humans, we don't want to be there. And though many times we walk down that road of trials, various types of trials, God, today as we look into the story of Esther, may we be reminded of the trials that she went through and how they fought through them. And I pray for Nita and Henry Peters. I pray, Lord, as they are going into this trial of their life, you'd carry them. You would just put your arms around them and give them that joy, that they could look at it as James looks at it, that they could count it joy. Lord, I think further even of my sister Nancy, of what she's gone through in her life. Lord, as they just did a stent in her heart recently. having given up her husband a good 2 years ago, and so on. Lord, there's trials. And then we are put into an area where maybe sometimes our anger gets in our way. We get frustrated. We get discouraged. Lord, help us with that. Help us that we could rather count it as an opportunity to let your light shine through our life. Pray for your presence here today morning, Lord, and that whatever is said and whatever is done could be edification to our body, to our soul, pardon me, Lord, to our soul. So that our soul becomes stronger to battle those things that the body wants to do. Bless this morning, and may we be a blessing as we receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a few songs, please.
Page 119 in the blue hymnal, Did You Think to Pray? You're welcome to stand. Draw me nearer.
Thank you for leading in those songs. Wonderful opening. I was saying to the group here when they sang the song, "Did You Think to Pray?" I told them that is my most favorite song. I sang that lots at the age of 15, 16. My brother Ken and I did a lot of that, playing and singing that song together many times. So I have lots of practice in that song. It's a beautiful song. It has a very deep meaning. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray, in the name of Christ our Savior? Did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Did we pray? Did we pray that God would shield us from protect us from evil, from harm, from trials? And though, as I started off, James 1 says, count it joy when you fall into various things in life, your trials, different things. This morning, as I said, I was going to go through the book of Esther. Esther is a Jew. Esther is an orphan. Esther's parents passed away. I don't know what age she will have been. Was she a one-day-old baby? Was she a six-year-old child? Or what age she was? It does not tell us that in Scripture. But it does tell us that her parents have passed away. And she has another one that raises her, and his name is Mordecai. But these things happened in a time that there was a king that had reigned for a certain amount of years. And in Esther chapter 1, we find that there's a man by the name of Ahasuerus. He is king. He's king over India and Ethiopia. India lies east of Israel, and Ethiopia is south of Israel. Ahasuerus is king, and Ahasuerus is king not over just what we would call maybe one province, but he is a king over 127 provinces. He has a huge area where he is the leader of. Ahasuerus sitting on a throne in the palace. The place and the city that he's at is called Shushan. And then in Esther chapter 1, verse 3, we read that he's in his third year of reigning, his third year of leadership. And he's going to put on a banquet. He's going to put on a party. And so what does he do? He sends information to all the provinces, the leaders, the princes, and the servants of those provinces, and invites them to a party, to a banquet. And you know, we would think when we have a banquet, it's one evening, right? We celebrate one evening and we have a time together, fellowship, and maybe singing, whatever it is. But King Ahasuerus did not just do it one time, one evening. He did this for 180 days. 180 days, according to verse 4. At the end, he's getting them all together, and I look at it, I could be wrong, but this is how I see King Ahasuerus. He's proud of his reigning. He's proud of what he has accomplished. And we could say, rightfully, yeah, we should be, right? If we've accomplished something, we could be somewhat proud, as long as that doesn't get in our way that who gave it to us, that we would neglect God through that or forget him. But King Ahasuerus, 180 days of this celebration, having the princes and servants there, and he shows them the kingdom. He just shows them everything what has happened in those 3 years that he's reigned. And then it says in verse 5, the days were over of those 180 days. And now, in these days, he puts on a feast to all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, whoever was there. Maybe the maids and whoever, I'm not sure, it doesn't tell us, it just says whoever was there, he puts on a feast. And this feast went on for 7 days in the court, in the front, we could say, in the entrance area or the outer part, the yard of where the king had a garden, the king's palace place. Can you imagine 127 provinces? You invite the princess of every province. You invite the servants. Can you imagine how many people were there? He's showing everything. And he says there in verse 6, what is all at that place? The glory of it. There were white, green, and blue hangings.
They were fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. This place is beautiful. And beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. That was not all. He gave them to drink. And that stuff where he had the wine in, it tells us in verse 8, and drinking was according to law. Sorry, I missed it. I want verse 7. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold. Vessels of gold. This was not cheap. And then it says the vessels being diverse one from another, meaning they weren't the same. It wasn't like we made one mold and they all were the same mold. They were different one from another. And I kind of wonder what this would be like. It says there was royal wine. Is there something more special about that? Maybe it is. We have our communion wine, right? We call that more of a special. But they, I don't know, was there a certain mix that this royal wine is mentioned as royal wine? They have this royal wine. And it says, and there's an abundance. There's lots of it there. Makes me think of a trip that my wife and I made to Europe. I can't remember where it was, but we had a tour of one building. And amazing, they had a barrel made out of wood to store their drinking stuff in, their alcohol. And I would say it was probably about half the church and almost the height of, probably the height of the church. That's how big that barrel was and almost probably almost the length of these benches. Can you imagine that being full of alcohol? Full of it. It's just like, wow. Like, this is what they do on this. I guess they spent so much time drinking. And that was the same thing here. That's what they needed to do. And they felt as a party, there had to be wine. And you and I know that having some wine is not the sin. But when we have a party to the excess, that becomes sin. When we drink in excess. Well, there was a big abundance of wine there. And verse 8 teaches us that the drinking was, according to the law, none did kapel. Meaning as much as they drank what they wanted to. They could stop at the first cup full or the second or third or tenth, whatever they wanted to. And he says in verse 8, the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. You know what? You choose. You drink as much as you want. Doesn't matter. Then it tells us about his queen. I understand his wife. Vashti is the name of her. The king, remember King Ahasuerus has put on this party, this feast, this for 7 days. But at the same time, Vashti, the queen, is also making a feast. And the feast that she made was for the women. And she did that also in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. And then on the seventh day, remember they had a seven-day feast. And on the seventh day, according to verse 10, it tells us that the king's heart was merry with wine. Very straight, simple way to say it, he's drunk. He had too much. He has no idea what he's doing or what he's saying. The king, together with a lot of the other ones, took too much. Then he commands his queen to be brought forward. In verse 11, and to show herself the beauty that she had to the others that were at his feast. Now, I would have a question to you women. If you were together with as a group of women, you had something going on, you had your own little get-together and fellowship, but in your group, you didn't have any access to this wine or anything like that. But you knew that your husband was with a group of men that There was no control. There was more to drink than what they could even take in. And all of a sudden, you get somebody comes up to you. He says, "Hey, come with me. Your husband wants you to come and to where he is. And you're so beautiful. He wants to show you to the rest of the guys." What would be your thought, women? What would be your thought? There's a good chance you know your husband is drunk. There's a good chance you know that all these men are drunk. And if you go there, what are these men going to think of you? And you're beautiful. What would the thoughts of these men be? I give credit to Vashti. Ahasuerus didn't give her that credit, but I give credit to her. Even though it was not right for what she had done according to the law, she was to respect him. She was to do whatever he asked for. But I look at it and say, he asked her for something that was not appropriate. And so the queen refuses to come, according to verse 12. You see, the queen is put into a trial. She's put into a spot of temptation. And she refuses. What happens? The king hears about this. In verse 12, at the end, it says, "And king, therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him." Now, if he wouldn't have been drunk, I think he would have had a different attitude. But now he had anger in him. How many of us don't hear that when somebody has too much wine, too much alcohol, they have no control and the anger comes out a lot easier? And I understand that that's what happened here. This man is angry. He sends for some wise men. And he sends for them and he asks them. In verse 15, "What shall we do with Vashti according to the law?" There's one. In verse 16, Memucan, he answers the king. And he says this, and it makes sense. It does make sense. He says to the king, he says, "You know what? Vashti has not respected you. She has not done what you've asked for. And if all the other women in these provinces, these 127 provinces, hear that, the princess," and he speaks about, especially with the princess, he says, "if they get to hear about this, that the queen hasn't respected her husband, then there's a possibility they as women will not respect their husbands either. So we need to do something about this. We need to deal with this." And so what does these seven men come up with? They come up with saying that the crown and the position that Vashti has is to be taken away and to be given to someone else. So what does the king do? That doesn't tell us that in Scripture. But I take to understand he divorces her. He says, "You're out, you're done, you're not my wife anymore." Was that against the law? No. No. And I just see some of those that officiated, and I've talked about that at some of those marriage counseling sessions. Deuteronomy 24, remember that? Deuteronomy 24. It tells us there that if a man finds his wife to behave herself unseemly, he can take and write her a divorce paper and send her out of his house. Vashti did not behave herself properly. And so I take to understand, "Here, get out." It doesn't tell us that exactly, but I understand that that's what possibly happened. "Get out of my house. You're not my wife. You're not my queen. You're done." chapter 2. It tells us when the king in verse 1, his anger started to go down, he remembered Vashti, what she had done. The servants that come to the king, and they tell in verse 2, or that actually goes on here, and he just says, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. The servants are telling him, let these virgins be brought out to the king. Let there be officers appointed in verse 3 in all the provinces of the kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan, the palace. And then when they get there, let them give them their pure stuff for purification. So what happens? There's information that goes out to all the provinces that they're supposed to bring the beautiful, young, virgin, fair women. In other words, the beautiful ones. Those that are... So they go search for these. They bring them to the palace, the Shushan palace. And at Shushan palace, they are to be given stuff to make them beautiful. It talks about purification, but they're giving them, as verse 12 speaks about, 6 months of oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors. Can you imagine? There's 12 months that these men take the stuff and they just put this on these virgins and just try to pretty them up, make them beautiful. Make them look like something on the outside that is nice. Now, it makes me a little bit mindful of a comment that my father-in-law made to my wife many years ago when she was still at home, a young lady. And he made a comment that went something like this. The beauty comes from the inside, not from the outside. But here the beauty was supposed to be on the outside. Make them look really beautiful. But where is the beauty to come from? It's to come from the inside. Listen to Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll, I'm not sure where he exactly found this, but anyhow, as I understand, he found this possibly through a magazine or something. But anyhow, there was a survey done in a Carolina cooperator. And this survey was done for two women, just two women. And so I'm just trying to imagine this survey. Hello? You know, they're calling someone. Is this the missus of the house? Is this the wife of a man in that house? Yes, yes, okay. And then there's different questions that they would ask, and they would survey each house, whoever they phoned, to find out how many women do these certain things. And this survey went like this. 15% of the women tint their hair. From all those women that they called, 15% of them tint their hair. 22% of them wear false eyelashes. 38% wore wigs. 80% wear rouge. Rouge, maybe we could say. 93% wear nail polish. Pardon me, 93% wear nail polish. 98% wear eyeshadows. It's huge. And we would say, well, that's not in our group that way. No, but this is the people that they called, and that's what it worked out to, the survey. But the interesting thing is, remember that all this that they have is they change their look. This was not actually who they are. They tint their hair, they wear false eyelashes, they have wigs, they have rouge, they have nail polish and eyeshadows. You're not seeing the true person behind that, are you? 100% of them that they asked, that they had this survey with, the women were in favor of a resolution to be made that condemning of any kind of false packaging. They were 100% in favor that it was supposed to be condemned if there was a false package. Were they not being falsely? Were they not a package that was false? They're covering it up. Esther is one that's hiding one thing that I know of, that she's a Jew. Esther did not let know that she was a Jew. I want to continue with this story in German. I'm sorry for some of you might not get to hear more of this story, but the time is running away. But Esther is challenged. And we get challenged too. Esther has become the queen. And now she's put into a trial that could cause the Jews to be killed or to save the Jews. And on Friday, as I know Mr. Penner will remember, I shared the verses of where in the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14, where Mordecai sends information to Esther. And he says this, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the queen kingdom for such a time as this?" Who knoweth? We may ask when we go through trials, who knoweth that we come to a time in our life that we fall into various troubles in our life for a good reason? Esther was there for a reason, for a purpose. Why are we going through what we are? There's a purpose. Let's be patient and let's trust the Lord. And it makes me mindful out of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Romans 5, 1 to 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." But not only that, he goes on, he says, "But we glory in tribulation." Seriously? You guys enjoy tribulation? I don't. But we are to glory in it. He says, "But we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Yes, we need to have patience. "And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us." That's what it is. It is God's Holy Spirit, his Holy Ghost that is in our hearts, that we go forward in hope. And so today I want to say to you that in these trials, to glory in him. Have patience. This is an experience of your life. But don't give up on that hope, which we are not ashamed of, because we have the Holy Spirit on us. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I sometimes wonder, God, why the book of Esther is in the Bible, because it doesn't even speak about you, God. It doesn't mention anywhere in that 10 chapters, I believe it is. It doesn't mention you at all. But there's a story to be learned from that. And you have it in there for a purpose in our life. And we can, as we read that story, and I would encourage everyone here today morning, O Lord, that they would take and read that story and just see the trials and the tribulation, the tough things that Mordecai and Esther go through, but they conquer victoriously because they prayed and they fast. And you gave them, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to not give up, to keep praying and to fast, and so that you will come through a shining light. We pray for your blessing upon this message, and that we can be a blessing for you. In Jesus' name, amen. This time, I have some announcements. No? Okay. Well, I'd like to give everybody an opportunity to pray. And for those that are able, together with me, let's kneel for a silent word of prayer. and be gracious unto us. I was given an information from one of the members here of church. They asked that I announce it. The breakfast, prayer breakfast, is to be next Saturday, but it will actually be, if I understand, it'll be with a breakfast, right? It'll be a full breakfast, and everyone, all the men, you are invited, 7 o'clock next Saturday. And there will also be a video shown or something. There will be a presentation there. So please come, man, and let's join together. Again, thank you all for coming. And as we leave from here, my wish is that we will hold fast to God, hold on to the hope. If we can't see any change at this point, but we hold on to that hope, which we are not ashamed of. And so in closing, thank you again, and I want to close with Jude chapter verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you and me from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may go, but take the Lord with you as you go. Thank you.